We'd like to say good welcome. Good morning. Welcome to the Sanctuary of Trinity United Methodist Church at 333 South Chestnut Street in Seymour, Indiana. And to those of you listening on the radio, we welcome you to our service this morning. Our scripture lesson this morning will come from Genesis 28, verses 10 to 19. And for you in the sanctuary, that can be found on page 27 of the Bible in the pew. Now will be followed by Pastor Angel Abshire's sermon entitled, Dream Big, Our God Cannot Be Limited. Genesis 28, starting with verse 10. Jacob left Beersheba and set out for Haran. When he reached a certain place, he stopped for the night because the sun had set. Taking one of the stones there, he put it under his head and lay down to sleep. He had a dream in which he saw a stairway resting on the earth with its top reaching to heaven, and the angels of God were ascending and descending on it. There above it stood the Lord, and he said, I am the Lord God of your father Abraham and God of Isaac. I will give you and your descendants the land on which you are lying. Your descendants will be like the dust of the earth, and you will spread out to the west and to the east, to the north and to the south. All peoples on earth will be blessed through you and your offspring. I am with you and will watch over you wherever you go, and I will bring you back to this land. I will not leave you until I have done what I have promised you. When Jacob awoke from his sleep, he thought, surely the Lord is in this place, and I was not aware of it. He was afraid and said, how awesome is this place? This is none other than the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven. Early the next morning, Jacob took the stone he had placed under his head and set it up as a pillar and poured oil on top of it. He called that place Bethel, though the city used to be called Luz. May God add his blessing to the reading of his word.
Amen. The story of Jacob's dream, which we followed last week and this week, is one of divine revelation. It is a story of a big dream. I have heard it said that if we can accomplish a dream in our own strength, it is not a big enough dream. And that applies to any vision or dream that we have for our congregation, for our community, and for our nation. We must have God's strength to accomplish big dreams. Jacob received divine revelation. The story of his dream at Bethel is a promise originally given to Abraham. This Old Testament reading, along with the other Old Testament lection offering for this week, which is Psalm 139, is an illustration of how much our Heavenly Father does indeed love us. Psalm 139 reminds us that God knew us, formed us in the womb, knew us by name, and knew the good plans that he had for our lives. You see, when God creates the miracle of life within the womb, he knows the spiritual gifts, the natural talents that he will implant in that child to carry out big dreams. And those spiritual gifts are to be used in community. Jacob's experience at Bethel comes at a very exciting point in the story. The patriarch is leaving the land of Canaan, in which his father Isaac and his grandfather Abraham had lived as a resident alien. And he is to return for a while to the territory of his ancestors in northeast Mesopotamia, where he will eventually acquire wives and children before returning. God begins working in Jacob's life before Jacob is even fully aware of it. Genesis 28, 10 through 17. Although one coherent unit in and of itself includes only the first part of the story of Jacob's dream at Bethel. The complete account includes verses 18 through 22 as well. Our reading is the material from two older sources, the Yahwehist and the Elohist, different divine names of Yahweh, Lord, and Elohim, God. These appear in verses 12 through 13 and verses 16 through 17. The revelation in a dream of angels. Whereas in verses 13, Yahweh himself addresses Jacob. Characteristics throughout this tell us of God's good and gracious nature. This passage is concerned with explaining the origin of a sacred place and the rituals associated with that sacred place. You see, in this day and age, nothing is sacred to the secular world. Rituals are not sacred anymore. The sanctuary is not sacred anymore. The family is not sacred anymore. And we see the results of that. We see broken families. We see the crime rate has gone up. We see the void that only God can fill is now being filled by sex, drugs, rock and roll, alcohol, food addictions, love hunger, and a little bit of everything else. And the only way that void is going to be filled is by our good and gracious God. Today, we are the messengers. Each and every one of us is a representative of Christ Jesus. I will become highly active in this community, and I'll invite all kinds of people to church. But they are more apt to accept your invitation when you are excited about what is happening in your church. And beloved, this is where those holes and those voids become filled. And us going out into the community, this is where we heal the broken world. It is a practical way to keep people in the lives of God. In this day and age, we have become so concerned with being politically correct that we want to say happy holidays instead of Merry Christmas. We want to be so politically correct, or society does, that we can talk about just about any religion or spiritual way of life other than which this country was founded upon, the Christian way of life. Secularism has become its own religion, and religion itself, or the spiritual practices and traditions that are practiced among Christianity have been pushed aside. God is still alive and present today. Miracles did not die with the original 12 apostles. They still exist today. And we are still called to do a mighty work. God is still alive and present. And even when we are living as if he were not, God still pushes into our lives and pushes us to be aware of his presence. How many of you have woken up in the middle of the night and seen a face before you, or all of a sudden had an urge to call someone? And when you listen to that urge and you call that person, you find out just how much they needed that call. To me, that's nothing short of a small miracle that God brought us into their life at that period of time to pray for them. How many times have you known because you've known that one of your children or someone else is in trouble? Do you still pray the prayers of the believing saints that people will be healed of cancer or other terminal illnesses? With the caveat, your will, Lord, not mine, knowing that the ultimate healing is that when we go up into heaven and our earthly tent expires, that itself is the ultimate healing. Jacob experienced an encounter with God that he would never forget and has been passed down through our Christian tradition. He had an experience that sounded strange. He was grandson of Abraham, the one with whom God had made a covenant, the one with whom was promised descendants as numerous as the stars. Surely Jacob must have heard the stories of Abraham. Surely he must have heard about his family's heritage. But if he did, he doesn't seem to have made much of a difference up until this point in his life. The Bible doesn't tell us of any other encounters with God before this one in today's passage. Instead, it tells us that up until this point, Jacob had led a ruthless and selfish life. But often, those are the very ones that God chooses to reach out, grab a hold of, turn around, and use for his good. He had made an enemy of his brother. He was on a lonely journey and isolated. We understand all too well what it means to live as if there was no God. Or at least I do. When we're trying to do things in our own strength and in our own way. Most of us try to do things in our own strength in our own way before remembering to turn to God. Jacob must have been experiencing life in that way when he pitched camp that night on the road to Haran. But during the night, something happened that surprised him. He woke and he saw a ladder that went up into heaven. He saw angels traveling back and forth, up and down the ladder. And when he looked up, he saw God. And God spoke to Jacob. God initiated the conversation. It was a real and personal interaction. Notice when Jacob woke up, he didn't blow off the dream and say, well, it was only a dream. It must have been something I ate last night. He took it seriously. He had met with God and his life would forever be changed. That realization made a difference in his life. How many of you have had an experience in your life where you have been touched by the hand of God and your life was forever changed? I know as a young, single, recovering alcoholic raising four children, God dropped me to my knees in front of a tree at Indiana Wesleyan. I didn't ask Jesus into my heart. I was just learning to pray. A 12-step group had taught me how to pray. I walked out of the Lucky Gymnasium gym at Indiana Westland, where a single parenting group had paid for one class for me. I didn't go to junior high and I didn't go to high school. I took a health and well-being class. I thought that it was a gym class. At the time I was in a lot better shape. I thought, well, I can do this. But anything at Indiana Westland had a spiritual component. I could not walk to my van. I was taking this class on my lunch hour, and I was drawn to this tree, and I dropped to my knees and on my face, and I started crying. I cried for 3 days straight. At the time, I worked in a factory, and I also worked in a therapeutic children's home, and my best friend worked in the women's shelter next door where I had just come out of. And I walked into her house, tears streaming down my face. And she said, Angel, you're crying. And I said, I know, isn't it great? Still don't know why I said that. And she said, oh, you figured out who your higher power really is. I cried for 3 days straight. Driving, cooking, eating, working. Jesus had entered my heart. He knows the condition of our heart. As a child, I grew up having dreams. They did indeed come true because he was preparing me for who I am today. As he forms us in the womb, he prepares us for who we will be. God is still alive and at work in our lives and in our world today. And I challenge you, Trinity United Methodist Church, and those of you listening on the radio, dream big dreams. And if they can be accomplished in your strength, they're not big enough. Dream big dreams that you cannot accomplish without God's strength. Pray and ask for his discernment. Sometimes God's judgment pushes into our lives, and these experiences show us that we are not quite the people that we would like to be. A certain clergyman traveled to India to help his church prepare to do something about the massive poverty in that country. When he went, he thought he had a pretty clear understanding of poverty in the world and what needed to be done to solve the poverty situation. But he could not really respond to the people's needs. One day, he was walking in the crowded streets of Kolkata, and a certain persistent beggar kept following him, pulling at his tailcoats and begging a little tiny woman with a lethargic baby in her arms. She fastened herself to him, and she kept crying out. And finally, he said, all right, if you must. And he tossed a few coins down at her feet. He was so self-righteous in what he was doing. She grabbed the coins and thanked him and thanked him and thanked him. And he looked at her and he said, why? Why did you continue for blocks? For blocks. You have held on to the hem of my clothing and you have followed me. Even though I tried to shake you off. And she said, sir, I had no choice. This little one is dying and there are so many like him. And God told me that if I was persistent, that you would respond. He broke down and he cried right then. He had missed the whole point. He went there with intellect, trying with a business approach to solve poverty, rather than just meeting one need at a time through humility. Often when we go into the mission field, We go to save, to rescue, to teach of Jesus Christ. And that is a good thing. But I wonder what would happen if we went to learn from them as well, to partner with them, to just sit at their feet and listen. Every year I go to a place called Mountaintop in the Appalachians. And we build porches and fix roofs and patch floors and pick up children and bring them atop of the mountain and teach them of Jesus. And we're taught. If people come out, drop all your tools and sit and listen. For their emotional, mental, and spiritual needs are every bit as important as their physical needs. And we partner with these people to fulfill their needs. I remember one time we were to build a porch, and there was a huge hole in the middle of the living room floor. And to me, it seemed like we should fix the hole in the middle of the living room floor first. And the person with me said, our job is to do the porch. And it turned out they were bringing home an 86-year-old grandmother who needed the ramp to get into the house. She could be wheeled around the hole in the floor, and someone else could fix that. And the whole time, all the neighborhood kids gathered around us and listened to stories of Jesus and sung songs with us and dreamed dreams of gardens and bigger houses to be fixed. I have big dreams for this church and for this community that cannot be accomplished in my own strength. And I will not run ahead of the church. I want to hear your dreams as well. One day a woman, we'll call her Joy, came into C.S. Lewis's life. He wrote a book, Surprised by Joy. The movie titled Shadowland tells us the story of his life. One sequence in the movie is especially significant. Lewis was an intellectual. His whole life seemed to contain within the walls and traditions of a prestigious university. He knew all about the Christian tradition and theology. But this woman named Joy awakened in him a new life. It awakened in him the spirit of love. One day, Joy saw a picture hanging on Lewis's wall. It was a landscape of a beautiful valley. Joy asked where it was. Lewis said he had never thought to ask. He thought it might have just been a product of the artist's imagination. It had never occurred to him that it might be a picture of a real place. Joy investigated and found out that the picture was a painting of a real valley that was not very far from him. And she insisted that they would go right away to see it. They did, and they experienced the great beauty and reality that was represented in the picture. In a similar way, many of us have some ideas about what God is supposed to be like and what life is supposed to be like, according to the Christian religion. Unfortunately, for many of us, these ideas have come from seeing some kind of picture or some made-up picture in our own minds. But a real relationship with God is a picture of God walking every single step of the journey of life with us, never leaving us, never forsaking us, and giving, as my husband often tells me, a deep sense of joy, admits chaos, admits hard times, and still being able to dream big dreams during the most difficult times in our lives. In just a moment, we are going to sing, Be Thou My Vision. Keeping first and foremost in our lives, God as our vision. As I've mentioned before, and I will continue to, after forming relationship with you as a congregation, my intent is that we will gather together to vision and to see how God intends for us to minister to this community. Jesus said, what we do for the least of those, we do for him as well. When we feed the hungry, when we give living water to those who do not know him, we do that in his stead. When we stand in his place, and we have the authority to do so, and offer forgiveness in his name, when others confess their sins, we are offering his amazing grace. And I don't know about you all, but that song, Amazing Grace, touches me to my core. Because I was lost and blind, and he reached in and saved me. And I'm telling you, when you get to know me and you know where I came from, I am a living miracle, and there are a lot of us walking around. And frequently those born into the church think that you have no testimony, and you are so wrong. You have an amazing testimony. And not only that, but you have what this community so needs. You are steeped in the Word. You have the love of Jesus Christ and the ability to love others with that love. In his letter to the Romans, Paul speaks of a deep yearning, a hunger, a hope that there is in the very life and body of the whole creation, as it reaches out to come into relationship with God. We know that the whole creation has been groaning in labor pains until now, and not only the creation, but we ourselves who have the first fruits of the spirits groan inwardly while we wait for adoption, the redemption of our bodies. For in hope we were saved. Now, hope that is seen is not hope. For who hopes for what is seen? But if we hope for what is not seen, we wait with patience. Are you feeling that yearning in your own life? Are you feeling a yearning for something different, something new, something exciting? You know, I have had people tell me that the Bible is boring and this book is all but boring. There is love, there is romance, there is drama, there is everything in here. And nothing but nothing has changed in mankind. We just have found different ways of doing so. This is the living Word of God. Let us in this community make it come alive. Please join me in singing, Be Thou My Vision, keeping our Father first and foremost in our minds.